are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
How are we doing tonight? Excellent. That's good. That's great. So am I. I'm good. I just wanted to talk a little bit just about the events of this past week for us and Sunday night last week as well. And as you heard from Chris, my mother-in-law, Petula, passed away on Sunday night, and Chris's wife and Cass, Guy and Cam's mother, after a 14-month battle with cancer. And I've never personally lost someone as close as that before. And to be honest, I didn't think it would be as difficult as it has been this week, coming to grips with it all. We heard the news 14 months ago that she had a few spots of cancer on her body, and she would effectively start that treatment straight away that she was on. And that began many months of ups and downs for us as a family, as we received some good news and some not so good news. And, you know, she did really well. And I just wanted to say, like, yeah, buddy, it's true, that Nana, which is Nana to the kids, she was a fighter. Petula was a fighter. She fought hard in a physical sense, as originally the outlook was much bleaker, and she got all that she could out of that body that she had. But much greater than the physical fight was the emotional and the spiritual fight. And she fought hard, not for herself, not that she would feel better in what she was going through, but because she wanted to be strong for her family. And hardly ever over those 14 months did I see this battle getting the better of her from an emotional and a spiritual sense. And anyone who came in contact with her, anyone who knew her through that time, couldn't help but comment on the amazing outlook on life and her future that she had. And I have no doubt that even though the treatment helped, it was her positive outlook and her embracing of the presence of God that helped her stay with us as long as she did. And for those around her that loved her, she gave all she had. And that goes to show the character of this beautiful lady that now calls heaven her residence. And she gave this key was from her. I only received it like a couple of days ago. And we, each one of us, got one with a little message. Mine is create, which is frightening. And I know that she's done that deliberately for me, because that's hard for me. But it just goes to show, you know, it's a little thing, the touches that we can have while we are here that outlast us, that outlast our body and outlast us here on earth is crazy. So, you know, if I said to you it's been easy, I'd be lying. It's been hard. And Cam and I, we had the privilege of playing the guitar and inviting the presence of God into that hospital room last week for the few hours that we were with her. And it was just a reminder to me just of the power and praise and worship, that no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, the Holy Spirit is there with us. And in that moment of worship, Petula didn't rise up out of the bed healed, and we didn't see a physical miracle happen in that place. But I know, at least for Cass and myself, that the peace that we're able to know through those moments can only come from the relationship that we have with Jesus, and from the knowledge that this is not the end, that this is just, I'll see you later. And we have hope in that. And we, and I'm sure Chris, look forward to that moment one day. I don't know how many times I've said it over the past week, but I just don't know how we would cope with these tough times in life without God. And I think that's the point, because from the very beginning, we were created for relationship with God. We were created to actually do life together with Him. We were created for relationship. He has been, He is, and He will be everything that we need. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity here to dive into your word and see what you have to say to us. Father, we thank you that we can remember this beautiful lady who lived an amazing life here on earth and has left an amazing legacy, And Father, we thank you so much that that this is not the end. There is hope in eternity, and we will be reunited again one day. So Father, we just thank you that that you are with us in eternity, and at the same time, you are with us right now. And we thank you that we can rest in you. We thank you we can rely on you. We thank you that you are our rock that we can trust in. So Father, speak to us this night. Open our heart. We open our hearts. We make that decision tonight to open our hearts to you, to what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So tonight, I wanted to share a message, and I had the title of this message before the events of last weekend, and in the light of what happened, it's really become so real to me. And I was saying to Dave earlier that I had the title, I hadn't done the work, but I was looking forward to doing the work because I knew of where we were at. And if you're taking notes tonight, which I encourage you to do, the message tonight is called Jesus is our refuge. Jesus is our refuge. If I were asked you to give me some words to describe what life is like, depending on the situation you find yourselves in, you'll give me some very different answers. And on one side, it could be exciting, or it could be fulfilling, or it could be beautiful. But on the other side, life can also be hard. It can be painful, and it can be tough. And depending on where we find ourselves, we'll use those words to describe life. And sometimes we're honest, like I've just talked about, it can be hard and it can be painful or tough all at the same time sometimes, where I don't know if you've experienced it before, but it feels like there's pressure coming from the top and from the bottom and from each side. And no matter where you look, you just feel under pressure. And there are plenty of inspirational quotes on the internet, some great, some not so great, like no pressure, no diamonds. I mean, these things are like, they're cool to hear, but when you're in the moment, they're like, oh, give me a break, you know. Tough situations bring strong people. Excellent. What the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls a butterfly. Like, yeah, like, super. And I think we get it for the most part, except for when we're young, maybe when we're in our teenage years, and the worst thing that happens to us is that our phone falls in the toilet or something like that. I think we get it that we're going to have tough times in life, that there are going to be sometimes these places we find ourselves in where that pressure is coming. And I know I've sat in here in church before and heard messages on trials and on storms without ever having experienced a major one myself. However, just like when we do a marriage counseling course with any couple that is going to get married through the church here, we try and give them insight into what it's like to be married and some of the tips and things that you need to put in place now for when you get married, not for when you get married and you make a few mistakes and then learn. You know what I'm talking about? And so for this as well, even if you're young and even if you haven't, don't think, oh, I haven't experienced anything like that, or I'm not experiencing anything like that. It's important to know what to do when we find ourselves in those situations so that when they come, and they will, we know what to do. We know what to do. And the first thing that we need to know, that it's really important to our lives in general, how we respond in these situations, because you can't always control the fact that you are in that moment or control the moment itself, but what you can do is choose how you respond to those moments. I've enjoyed the odd season of basketball over the years, and if you've ever played organized sport before or you've watched it, you know that there's something. No, you don't get it if you watch it. You get it if you play it. You know there's something that changes within you when you step over that white line and onto the court. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Show me your hand if you know what I'm saying. Yes? All right. Other people, try and play a sport and then come back and you'll know what's going on. I like to think of myself, generally speaking, as a pretty even-keeled kind of guy, like most of the time. However, there was a while back that I became a pretty different person when I was playing basketball. You're laughing at me. And even as I was writing this and even talking about it, like I feel a little uneasy just talking about it. But in basketball, I'm just going to explain a little bit of basketball to you. So the idea of basketball is to put the ball in the basket, right? Uh-huh, I know. That was for you, Steph. Graham, that was for you as well. Yeah, I know. So that's the idea. And there's this thing that you do. You drive means you go close to the basket, which is the hoop that you put the ball in. You drive in and you perform this maneuver. It goes like this, and it's called a layup. And you just lay it up and you lay it into the basket. All right, that's 2 points. All right, that's how you win. You get lots of those and you win. And when I was playing, I would often do this maneuver. I'd do this, and when someone's defending you, they defend you, and people would defend me, and when they hit you on the arm or on the hand or on the body or anything like that, it's called foul, right? And when you go up for a layup and you get fouled, then you get the ball back or you get to have 2 free shots. And all the time, I would go and I would do my layup, and I would get fouled, and the referee would just say, play on. And thanks, Josh. And this is the guy that came out in my mind and started driving the wheel of my mind when I didn't get a foul called that I should have got. And for some reason, like, that's not me all the time, but for some reason, he comes out when I play basketball. And I'm seeking healing for this, just so you know. Thanks, Josh. You can take that now. And I know that's like a petty kind of example when it comes to some of the trials and the things that we have in life. But I've seen how even in this petty, simple little moment, how a response or how responding poorly to this moment has impacted people's lives in big ways, in relationships, in jobs, and in the temperament of people for years to come after these single moments where they respond poorly. And that's what happens when it comes to trials in life. The way we respond to them can have a huge impact on the person that we're becoming. And Jesus cares deeply about both who we are now and who we are becoming. So here's a couple of things I want you to jot down just as we start, that simply having a relationship with Jesus gives us as we encounter these tough times in life. And I'm going to give you 2 bonus ones, and then we're going to get to our main thought tonight, being refuge. And let me know if you've had any of these, you've known any of these through your relationship with Jesus in the trials that you've had in life. The first one is peace. Has anybody known God's peace through a trial? Yes. I have absolutely as well. Thanks, Josh. John 16, verse 33 says this, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Knowing Jesus gives us the peace to know that however big or small the trial, he has overcome it all. And with our eyes fixed on him, he is faithful to guide us through even to eternity. And I think the key word there is guide. And Judah, come on up, pal. I've got Judah coming up to the stage to show me something. Come on, mate. Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You don't need to. It's all right. He's eating his sandwich. He's just eating his dinner, guys, so that's all right. You want to come or you want me to get someone else? CB. Welcome to the stage. Yeah, do you want a sandwich for dinner? You can share. So pop that on for me, please. That's a blindfold. That's upside down, though. Yeah, upside down. There you go. I mean, there's 2 sides for blindfold, and that was the wrong way. There you go. All right. Come over here. Can you see anything?
Oh, I can see just a bit out the bottom.
That's fine. Doesn't matter. All right. So just stay there for me. You all right?
Yep.
Good. And I just want to, just for us to imagine that there's this obstacle course that's been set up in front of us, and maybe like there's a bit of lava over here, or there's a bit of a swamp over here, or there's some spikes up there, you know, good obstacle course stuff. And I just say, CB, just can you just walk through that obstacle course, walk up to the other end? Now, if I was to say that and we were legitimately standing here in front of all that stuff, how would you feel about that?
Nervous.
Nervous, good word. What else would you be feeling inside you? What maybe would happen to your body in that moment?
I'd probably get a bit edgy inside, and I'll be very cautious about how I walk.
Yes, indeed, absolutely. You would be. And I use the word anxiety in my message. Is that accurate? Would you be anxious?
I probably wouldn't, because the Bible says don't be anxious about anything.
Judah wouldn't have said that. Great, so he wouldn't be anxious, but there'd be a little bit of edginess, which is a good word. And I know that feeling. And we can have that feeling sometimes in life where it seems like, man, it's hard. But as I was talking about, God guides us through, how that would change if I was to grab Chris's body, grab his hands, grab his shoulders, and I'd say, mate, I can see and I know where we're going and you can trust me and take a footstep. Yep, that's it. Now stop. Now turn right a little bit. Now take another step. Beautiful. And all of a sudden, this hasn't changed. You can take that off. Thanks. Thanks, Chris. This hasn't changed down here, right? Yeah, you're doing awesome. Thank you, mate. The obstacle course, the things haven't changed. However, the person's hand and the guiding actually is able to, no longer am I anxious, no longer am I edgy about what's going on, but I can take a breath and I can have peace because I know that there is someone guiding me through what life has to bring. And that's the peace that we can have with Jesus guiding us through. And I wanted to have a look at the Message paraphrase, a different version of this verse. And it's just after that Jesus has told his disciples that he's going away before the cross. He's leaving and they're a bit scared by it. Thanks, Josh. Jesus answered them, "Do you finally believe? In fact, you're about to make a run for it, saving your own skins and abandoning me. But I'm not abandoned. The Father is with me. I told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace." Unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. "In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, for I have conquered the world." I have conquered the world. So number one, we can have peace in the knowledge that he has conquered the world. The second gift we get from knowing Jesus is this, comfort, comfort. Psalm 23, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Knowing Jesus brings comfort to us. And this famous scripture so greatly describes our shepherd as he has his rod and his staff to comfort us. And that rod is something that he carries to be able to fend off attacks like a club. And the staff is there to provide direction to us, to pull us out of harm's way or to push us to where we need to go. Just as a child feels safe in the arms of a parent as they give protection and direction, we can have comfort in the arms of our Savior through a hard time. And for some of us here, some of us here, I know we just need to know that comfort. That's exactly what we need right now. And I want you to know that we have a loving God that is watching over you. And comfort, it's not comfort from the sense of being comfortable, as in being simply at rest or free from pain. It's comfort as in the easing of feelings of grief or feelings of distress. And I was reading through this last night and just reviewing it, and Roman, our little 11-month-old boy, he woke up in his bedroom and he's been a little bit sick lately, so he's been a bit cranky. And I went in to settle him back to sleep, and we try, as a parent, you try all these different things and nothing seems to work, and sometimes things work. But we try not to pick him up, try and get him used to settling in his cot. And so all it takes for us sometimes is to go into his cot and he's crying away, and for us to just simply put our hand on his stomach, and that is enough for him to settle down and for actually go to sleep. Like sometimes, yeah, more happens, but Panadol, Nurofen, yay. But sometimes the hand is enough. And just as I went into his room and I put my hand on his chest last night and he settled down and stopped crying, I was just the comfort. When we are sick, when we are going through stuff and life is tough, the comfort for us comes from knowing that God's hand is on us. God is there. His hand rests on us. He is present in our time of need. Knowing Jesus brings comfort when we need it. And thirdly, which is where we're going to focus for the rest of the night, is on refuge. Jesus is our refuge. Psalm 62, 7 and 8. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So what actually is a refuge? Let's define that. And we've defined it. The dictionary has great definitions. And it says a refuge is a shelter or protection from danger or trouble. It is a place of shelter, protection, or safety. It is anything to which one has recourse for aid, relief, or escape. For most of us here, I would assume that a physical refuge has not been something that we've had to experience. Refugees would know that feeling well. However, in a literal sense, I'm sure most of us wouldn't have experienced this. However, it's important to understand what a refuge is so that we can understand why God is talked about as being a refuge so many times in Scripture. See, a refuge has a number of important functions for the person seeking refuge. Number one, the most important thing is that it's a safe place. A refuge is a safe place. This is the number one thing someone wants to know when they're coming out of a battle or a struggle, is that this refuge is a safe place. And in fact, that's exactly what a refuge is specifically designed to be, a safe place. God knows that with life comes trials. Therefore, he has made sure that he is a safe place for us to run. And the powerful part about that is that no matter what baggage you're carrying, no matter what you bring, you're welcome in him. His refuge is not exclusive. You can find safety in his arms. No matter, he is a safe place for us to be. Number two, it's safe. Number two, there's healing. Healing can be found in a refuge. Once we're safe, the healing process, the wrapping and the care for our wounds can actually begin. And if we're honest, most of us would probably have a few wounds that unfortunately aren't getting any better. Knowing Jesus as our refuge and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, we're able to find healing for the wounds that we receive in life. And when it comes to wounds, you'd know if they're not treated, they struggle to heal. The same can be said about the wounds we receive in life. If we allow them to remain unchecked, they continue to get worse. Bringing them to Jesus, our refuge, ensures that we are cared for in the right way. And this sometimes includes him using someone else, a word of wisdom, or someone else to provide counseling. And if that's not something that you've been able to do, I want you to know you don't have to have any fear. There's no shame in having to go to someone and say, hey, I'm struggling in this area. Hey, this wound I've got, I can't care for it myself. I need help. And that is part of the way God provides healing for us, is with one another. And number three, we can be equipped and we can be strengthened there. A refuge is a place for equipping and strengthening. Once we are safe and we're on the mend, we can begin to be strengthened and equipped. And a number of places where the word refuge is used in Scripture, it's accompanied by the word strength. Dan, strength and refuge. There's a song that's in the works at the moment for church that's titled, I think, Strength and Refuge. It was titled that, and then it wasn't, and now it kind of is again, and we're going to get to that. Strength and refuge, they are married up so many times in Scripture. Psalm 46, verse 1 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if you think about it, how strong do you actually feel when you're not safe? Or when you're sick or wounded, we don't feel that strength. And it's in that place of refuge that we're led from being safe to healed, to strengthened and equipped. And look back at that scripture for a second. It's not our own strength that we need to rely on. God is our strength. He is the one. And it's out of this knowledge that we too are able to walk in that strength. And walking in God's strength is an awesome thing. But who knows that sometimes we can tend to slip into walking in our own strength. We can think that we are stronger than we ought to think. And we rely on our own wisdom and experience rather than God's leading. And unfortunately, when we live under our own strength, we're more susceptible to attack. Speaking of attacks, think about shark attacks. The good old great white sharks that we have in the water. And thanks, Josh, throw that up. The great white. Bruce. It is Bruce. And if you were to roll up to one of these in the ocean as you're swimming at the beach, and he looked at you like that, I'm sure we'd get a bit of fear, because it's a bit of a scary thing. But this guy, he's so scary because the power behind those jaws is incredible. The strength of a shark to just grab something and swim away with it is unmatched in the ocean. Yet, despite the amazing strength of this beast, the power that is in this guy, if you've heard the stories, someone's getting attacked by the shark, what do? You poke it in the eye. Did someone say you can't do that? You can. It's legit. So the shark has many stories on the internet, believe them all. The shark has you, and as soon as the finger goes in the eye of the shark, it is enough to send that shark away. Why? No matter how strong the beast, a little bit of pain in the right spot, it puts it totally off course. No matter how, he's so strong, and you'd think, come on, man, just bite a little bit harder and you don't have to worry about the finger. Like, the strength is there, but a little bit of pain is enough to put things off course. And pain is one of those things that can make us forget the strength that we have and cause us to seek refuge somewhere else other than Jesus. Pain is something that Satan can and does use to steer us away from seeking refuge in God. And we need to know this because pain takes our focus and our attention from the main thing and shifts it to the area of the pain. And this is why you can be eating the most delicious ice cream in the world, and as soon as a wasp comes and stings your leg, like, it don't matter about the most beautiful ice cream because our focus and our attention immediately, I've been stung on the leg by a wasp. I don't know why I chose that spot, but that I have. I was riding my bike. I wasn't going to tell this story. I was a little kid and I was riding my bike and it flew up my shorts and went right on the inside of it. That's a tender spot, especially for a wasp to come and get you. So the pain. I was having a beautiful bike ride. And then the wasp came and I didn't care about the bike ride because the pain was something that overtook me. And pain is so powerful that pain can overtake pain. If you've ever had a sore foot, the best way to forget about your sore foot is for someone to slap you in the face. Because we immediately go to the pain that's the greatest. And the same, unfortunately, can be said about life. And the real unfortunate thing is that Satan knows this about us. He knows that this is a hard point for us to have in our lives, that pain is a hard thing for us. But before we go on, I want you to know that though pain is not from God, he can and he will use it, and if we allow him, he will turn it around and he will use it for good if we give it to him. We feel pain, whether it be through hurtful words of someone or through the loss of a loved one, and that's personal. Pain is there. It's not healthy for us to deny it or to bury it deep inside. The important part is, again, giving it to God and finding refuge in him and healing in him. I know I've found it easy to justify my actions in the past after feeling pain. And whether it leads us to an area of addiction or whether it leads to activities based on our feelings of hurt or something that will medicate our pain or something that will even distract from the pain, that we're healing. We can wake up in the morning and say, I'm hurting so much. And that should justify the actions that I'm about to take, the sin that I'm about to do. Or this attitude that I've got towards someone, you know, like, I'm justified in that because I'm feeling the pain. I'm allowed to treat that person like that because I feel this pain. And that is the enemy being able to use that pain and turn it around for something that is not from God. Pain, if not dealt with properly, will not only cause continual hurt in our lives, but it'll become increasingly intolerable as the wounds grow larger. And as the wounds grow larger, the medication gets stronger. And as the medication gets stronger, the wounds grow larger. And it's just this snowball if we don't deal with it properly. But the good news is that we can have healing and deliverance in Jesus' name, because he is our refuge. He is our refuge. But it's all in our response, as we talked about before. When the pain comes, what is our response going to be? And there are only two options. The first one is to run to Jesus, our refuge. And the second one is not. We either run to him or we don't, which means running anywhere else, which means finding anything that the world has to offer to medicate our pain. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, man, there are a lot of places that we try and find refuge in life. There are a lot of areas, and none of them satisfy. None of them provide the safe place and the healing, the strengthening that we find in Jesus. And the great part is that, unlike most pharmacies, he's available 24/7, no matter where you are. Yeah? So we're going to close now, and I want the band to come back up, and we're going to sing just a bridge and a chorus of a song. But in the meantime, we read the first part of Psalm 46 earlier. Josh, let's look at the rest of it. Psalm 46, or just the next couple of verses, 1-3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's present. He is here. Jesus is with us. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. This next psalm, written by David, praises God for his presence in the tough situations. Psalm 16, 1-2, says this: Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my God. I have no good apart from you. We go forward to verse 7. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. Pastor Graham, in his message this morning, told a story about a man who knew one absolute in life, middle C. He had his tuning fork, and when the lies and mystery around, people would ask him the question, what was the question he was asked? What's absolute truth? That's good enough. What's good about today? There's one thing I know for sure. Ding! That's middle C. And he would always know that. That was one absolute that he knew. But was I close? Was I close to middle C, Tim? Is that what you were judging, Tim? Was close? Oh, good. I know my middle C. You can't rely on that one, though, the tuning fork. Praise God our faith isn't in middle C, right? Like, we have an absolute truth who is so much greater than that. Our faith and hope is in a God who will not be shaken. Our refuge is found in a Savior who provides safety and healing for us at any time by the power of his name. When life's at its toughest, it's our loving God who provides for us not only by his power to fight whatever we find ourselves in, but also by his refuge that we can find rest and healing in. And church, it begins with this word called salvation. with the fact that we through sin have been separated from God, yet through the death of his son Jesus on the cross, who paid the price for our sin, we can now come back into relationship with him. That's where it begins. And further to that, once we've experienced salvation, he's calling us to a life of devotion. Devotion. A life set apart for him. And with that comes the time spent. And here's the one thing. Here's one thing about a refuge. You have to actually go to it. You have to go to the refuge. Salvation comes. Devotion comes. A life that's set apart for him. And I said that time spent. And I was thinking about, you know, if God had a love language, the five love languages book, what if God had a love language? And I almost didn't want to say it because he is the definition of love. But when I think about God, I think about quality time. I think that God is a God who loves to spend time with us. He wants more and more of that from us because life is just too busy. And when we spend time with God, they're the moments that we actually find refuge. They're the moments that we find healing. We allow God to speak to us. And we have to do that both ways. When we have that time, it's to sit and to allow God to speak to us. But it's also to bring the stuff that we're going through in life and say, God, I'm struggling with this. God, I need your help with this. And the one thing I want you to hear from God when you have those moments, above anything else, is him say, I love you. I love you. Every single person, I love you. We're going to declare some of this truth as we sing a song tonight called Anchor. And I didn't know whether to or not, but I think we're just going to do it. And as we sing this song, we're just going to open up the front here. Some of the elders are here. And if you want prayer about anything, it doesn't have to be this message, but if you want prayer about anything, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight, we would love to pray with you tonight. So we're just going to stand, we're going to dim the lights, and we're going to sing this song, this truth. And this song says this, that your name is higher, that your name is greater. All of my hope is in you. Your word unfailing, your promise unshaken. All of our hope is in you. So come on, guys, let's sing this song tonight. Let's stand and let's worship. And if you need prayer tonight, whether you need to just spend a little moment here in prayer with us, acknowledging Jesus, you are my refuge. I'm running to you right now, and that is your action. I just encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that you are present in our time of need. God, we thank you that there is nothing in life that we go through that we can't come running into your arms and seek refuge in you. And Father, we understand that no matter how far, no matter what we've done, no matter how far we've run, that your refuge is open to us. So Lord, we thank you so much for that. We give you praise for that. And we sing this song as a declaration to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's sing.